30 years since Voyolovat. Hard to believe. 30 years since we were together. And we still write letters. As though we might meet again. Just as well we won't, perhaps. They're having a reunion. God knows why. They're dragging me out of well-earned oblivion to make a speech. They'll all be there. Everyone who was mixed up in the battle. Except the dead. And you.
Over here, Sarge!
On the platform, Pellet.
Yeah, that'll do, Jenkins. Now get the bloody banner the right way up.
Guest of Honour, Field Marshal Sir John Durham, GCB, OBE, DSO, MC.
The Field Marshal's Memoirs. Adapted by James Brabazon from the novel by John Masters. With Jeremy Kemp as Field Marshal Sir John Durham.
Durham? I thought he was dead.
Dead? That old bastard. He'll never die.
Ages since I climbed into this uniform. Still more or less fit, except for something of a tortoise effect around the neck. I'm glad you won't be here to see that. But generally speaking, I can still manage to look the part of a fierce old soldier. I suppose you too look a bit less devastating than you did, but I don't want to...
All right, Bertha, it's only me.
Good Lord! Caroline! What the devil are you doing here?
Hello, Grandad. I came back for your party.
No, it's only for soldiers, for people who were there.
That's discrimination.
And you certainly can't come in jeans and a T-shirt with your watch it sticking out.
I couldn't hit you in a party frock. Give me 5 minutes.
You can have 7 3/4.
So I can come?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, will you tell Daddy? You know how he is.
Good Lord, Caroline, what on earth?
Daddy, go to the train. I'm going to the party.
You are not.
I'm Grandad.
It's all right, Martin.
Sir, there's no provision made for guests, ladies and so forth.
Oh, for God's sake, Martin. I'm too old to worry about regulations. You'll brighten the place up.
If you'll take the responsibility, sir.
Well, you're a brigadier, Martin. You should be able to take the responsibility, but... all right. I'll take it. Just so long as he dresses respectably.
You making a speech, Grandad?
Yes, and I'll stop your pocket money if you laugh.
Did you write it?
Certainly not. Your father did. He's a literary genius in this family.
Well, I suppose the War Office checked it.
No idea. Did they, Martin?
Well, the Ministry of Defence did ask to have a quick look at it.
Of course.
Why, of course?
Oh, Grandad, come on. The whole thing's a put-up job. Voyolovat's been Yugoslavia, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you fought alongside the partisans.
Yes.
And those partisan leaders are now the rulers of Yugoslavia, aren't they?
Well, I believe so.
The British government's working on a trade agreement with Yugoslavia, didn't you know? Not to mention trying to unload some obsolete guided missiles on them. The whole party's just a PR job for an armament deal. And you're the bait.
Is it true about the missiles, Martin?
It's not really my department, sir.
Well, don't tell me you don't know about things like that.
I had heard there was a sale being negotiated, yes.
Well, I shall have a word with Henry Bartlett.
Blue tickets to the left.
May I please see your ticket, sir? I just happen to have lost my ticket, that's all. And I'd be obliged if you take my word for it that I have one.
Sorry, sir. I'm not allowed to let anyone in without a ticket.
Oh, for God's sake.
With respect, sir, this is a military reunion, not the Chelsea Arts Ball.
Is there something wrong, Charles?
Hello, John. I seem to have lost the ticket you sent me, and this fellow thinks I don't look like a soldier.
Observant chap. Thank you, Corporal, but in fact, Mr. Gibson is a very fine war artist and a personal friend of mine.
Oh, yes, Jordan. I'm very sorry.
I tell you what, Charles, would you like to look after Caroline and find her seat and so on?
So you're Caroline. Well, I wondered where John had found such a dish. Delighted, John.
Thought you might be. I hope you can look after yourself, my dear. Because with Charles, you might have to...
Now, here we are, F-20 and 21. Does this suit you?
Perfect.
Well, if there was one evening in my life I didn't expect to be with a beautiful woman, this was it. Aha, success.
What do you mean?
I made you smile.
I was the one who told your mother you ought to have your teeth fixed. I wanted to see if it worked.
Thank you.
It did.
Who are all the people on the platform?
That's Matt Jordan on your grandfather's right. He's an American senator. He was some kind of liaison person at Voya Lovats. And next to him, that's von Heldenmark, the German commander we were up against, unbeaten to that battle. On your grandfather's left, that's Henry Bartlett. He was army group commander of Yugoslavia. Now he's a cabinet minister, chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster, Order of the Bath. And I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw a Sherman tank.
Michael. Well, Henry, enjoying politics?
Oh, it's a struggle, John. It's a struggle, you know.
Then why don't you give it up and breed roses?
Well, one would love to, of course, but there's so much to be done, and one enjoys the occasional achievement.
Naturally. Flogging obsolete weaponry must give you a lot of satisfaction.
What's the matter with the bandmaster? I told him to start on the dot of 7:30.
Make no mistake, that campaign in Yugoslavia was as important as any in the war. Well, I remember my feelings as I stood at the end of that long valley, knowing that in the castle at the head of it was ensconced one of Germany's finest commanders, happily with us here today as a friend, Ritter von Heldenmark. To dislodge him seemed an impossibility. Perhaps there was no other man in the British Army who could have done what Sir John Durham did.
When you face a commander like John Durham, you try to read his mind. What kind of man is he? What will he do? I studied the book he had written, Grand Tactics. I looked down that same valley and tried to guess what he would do. Then came an intelligent report to me that he had dismissed a certain officer, a man who was well known for favoring different tactics from Durham's. Now I was quite sure what my enemy would do. And he did the opposite. He did the thing that in his book he said was wrong. He did the thing that would have been done by the man he dismissed. We were taken by surprise, and I, von Heldenmark, was defeated.
The thing that, for me, sums up the quality of this great soldier, that, after his sudden last-minute switch of plan, one of the great tactical masterpieces of military history, John Durham quietly went to bed and slept, knowing already that he was going to win a great victory.
And now I would like our guest of honor himself to say a few words. Field Marshal Sir John Durham.
Thank you. I came here ready to deliver a really beautiful speech. I know that it was a beautiful speech because my son-in-law wrote it, and my son-in-law wrote the official history of the Yugoslav campaign. Not only that, my speech had been approved by the Ministry of Defense. Unfortunately, I cannot make that speech. I find myself face to face with those of you who are there, and I cannot utter those fine platitudes. They are not true. Truth is important. Accuracy is important. You remember how I used to insist on accuracy? It wins battles, gentlemen. I may not have very long to live, but I know that what we are engaged in now is the battle for the future of mankind. And in that battle, accurate information is as important as in any other, more so. To master
or distort it is to put the future in jeopardy. Sir, I have only one thing to say for the moment. Thank you for what you did. I'm grateful for it and for this opportunity to remember it. But don't let us ever forget how it really was.
Wonderful!
For God's sake, don't
take an exhibition
of yourself. I'm supposed to be in charge of.
Oh, you know it was wonderful.
The bloody hypocrite! The lot of rubbish!
Who said that?
Bloody hypocrite! I'll kill him! He's trying to climb on the platform. Somebody stop him!
Don't worry. Here are the security chaps.
Grandad, that was marvellous. Did you hear me cheering?
Yeah, didn't everyone?
I certainly did.
Partly. My granddaughter, Caroline.
Good evening, Mr. Rutledge. And it's Charles Gibson, isn't it?
I'm flattered that you know me.
Well, I admire your work. Even more, I admire your courage in appearing at this kind of function dressed like that.
I'll accept that as a compliment, though I know it wasn't
John,
intended.
John, you're a fine fellow, but for the future, will you kindly confine yourself to rose breeding?
Well, I'm sorry if you didn't like my speech, Henry.
Unfortunately, the press tomorrow will carry the speech you should have made, not the one you did. Good evening.
Just a moment, Henry.
Yes?
You mean the press will misquote me?
The texts of the speeches were issued before the meeting started.
Well, then I shall issue a corrective.
I wouldn't advise it. HMG would not be at all pleased.
Well, I don't give a damn what the government thinks. What I say, I say.
Naturally, John. But we are talking about something more important than personal considerations.
You're talking about using me for your piddling politics.
We're talking about the good of the country. Excuse me.
No. Britain has Henry Bartlett lying and cheating on her behalf, then God help her. Let's go home.
You look marvellous up there on the platform, Grandad.
Yeah. Mm. Sir? Mm. Sir John? Are you all right, sir?
Yeah, just thinking, Martin. They make you into a bloody monument while you're still alive. Get your hip flask on you.
Yes, sir.
I'll have a nip if you don't mind. Hmm. Thank you. Yeah. You did know about those missiles, didn't you, Martin?
They've got nothing to do with today's celebration, sir.
Bloody monument. The Duke of Wellington. Pigeon droppings all over his head and shoulders. Well, when I am dead, the pigeons and the politicians can drop what they like on me. But not yet.
Geoffrey?
Sir Henry?
Why didn't you show me this?
Oh, what, sir?
The Times man, John Durham, going to write his memoirs, full account of the campaign.
He can't write anything damaging, sir. He's still a serving officer, bound by the Official Secrets Act.
Oh, for God's sake, Charles, stop waving your legs about. You're dragging the bedclothes off me.
He's going to write it all down, the whole story. Oh, there'll be a beautiful row.
Take it easy, George. Take it easy.
If Durham spills any dirt about Arthur's death, I'll kill him with my bare hands, I swear.
Well, I thought you usually use someone else's bare hands.
I'll make an exception for this. It's a matter of the honour of the Rockingham family.
That's not a phrase I often hear from your lips.
Arthur was our brother, damn it. In this case, I'll do it personally, and with great pleasure.
Still trying for your black rose, Grandad?
No, it's something to live for. And there's a certain Freudian thrill in inserting a pollinated paintbrush into the secret heart of a rose.
I suppose so.
You may find it a little tame, but so far as I'm concerned, rose breeding has one immense advantage over human reproduction. It doesn't involve erratic female emotion.
Caroline! Speaking of which, here's Mother.
Over here, Mother.
Caroline, your father tells me you're not going back to university. Is this true?
Yes.
And may I ask what you intend to do instead?
I haven't decided yet.
Well, please decide as soon as possible. I'm not having you hanging around here using the place as an hotel. I've much too much to do. We all have to work nowadays, and I work very hard.
Organising amateur women's lip committees. Running their buffet lunches.
You can do much better, I'm sure.
I might.
Oh, don't worry about the memoirs, Lois, my dear. They're going to be a bestseller. Why else do you think I'm going to write them? And by the way, Caroline, do you type?
Type? After a fashion.
But I want an advertisement inserted in the Daily Telegraph. Elderly author requires secretary stroke personal assistant to help in the preparation of his memoirs. Typing is central, university experience an advantage. Do you think you could type that for me? Or perhaps, if you know someone who answers the description.
Grandad, of course I will.
Well, type it.
Do it.
Well, good.
Oh, really?
First job, find out what the going rate is. We'll start tomorrow.
Look at that. Dinner's almost ready, and he goes out to that old crock of his.
A 1929 3-litre racing Bentley, and all she can call it is that old crock.
I only know that there's trouble when he goes out in that thing.
Only one thing on God's earth gives me anything like the same comfort that writing to you gives me. The old green Bentley. I used to swing up into the cockpit like a cowboy into the saddle. Not quite so nimble now. Here we are. Readjust the throttle, readjust the spark, and off we go. The truth to tell, the old car knows things that even you don't know, my love. Here's the hill, the churchyard. My God, the graves. Endless, endless graves. And I live on. But I learned, by God, I learned, didn't I? I learned to live wondering what am I here for and what will kill me, till I didn't want to live any more. Not with her, not with Margaret. And I didn't want her to live. Foot down! Let her rip! For the last time, that's what I wanted. An end to it. Down. Down the sharp bend, the stone wall of the graveyard. She started to scream. That dreadful sound. Go on, Margaret, scream. Scream, please God, it's the last time I'll hear it. Scream! She died. Margaret died, according to plan, and left me behind, just as the others did. The men I was young with, Ted, Jim, Alan, and all the other soldiers who died for my mistakes. I made the plan, they died. I live on. I take full responsibility.
Of course, Prime Minister. Yes, I understand. The Americans would be bound to take that attitude. No, I don't think that will be necessary, Prime Minister. Terrell will have a word with the son-in-law. That's right. Brigadier Rutledge. Works at the Defense Ministry. I happen to know Rutledge has very good personal reasons for not wanting that book to come out. Take it from me, sir, we can safely leave it to Rutledge.
With respect, sir, I don't understand why you feel this book's necessary.
I'd tell you that if I thought you were going to help me. But, a sucker, just to hold that chute back a second, would you? Thanks. But you're not, are you?
I have a loyalty to my ministry.
Precisely. So you're not going to help me?
But surely, sir, you realize...
End of conversation, Martin. End of conversation. Anything else?
One thing, sir. What about the Rockingham business?
Well, that's part of the story. That'll be in it. Don't look so worried, Martin. I'll take full responsibility. We're only obeying orders.
Get out! Why do you have to go and hang on? It's going to be in the book. Get out of my room and stay out!
Grandfather?
Leave me alone.
What is it?
Ask your grandfather.
Who is it?
It's me, Caroline.
What do you want?
I just want to talk.
Come in.
Oh, sorry, you're working.
I had enough for the moment. Sit down. What's the rumpus?
I don't know. It's Father. He said to ask you. Is there something in the book?
Yes.
I thought the book was about war.
It is. And what people do in war.
And one of them's Father.
Unfortunately, yes.
For God's sake, what did he do?
Well, it's what we both did. You'd better know.
Arthur Rockingham's here, sir.
Right. Let's get it over.
Bring him in.
Let's not go. Son! Quick! Mark! Step! Chris Gannethorpe! Halt! All right, Sergeant, you can leave us.
Let's go! About! Turn! Quick march!
Now, Martin, you stay.
Yes, sir?
All right, Rockingham, sit down.
Thank you, sir.
We know why you're here, but I'm afraid I have to go through it formally. On Thursday, June the 16th, 1943, in the village of Mitrovica, you ordered the villagers to gather in the square and then gave orders to your troops to fire at and kill them all, men, women, and children. Your troops disobeyed, refused to fire. You then seized the Sten gun and started to fire yourself. Company Sergeant Major Anderson then knocked you out with the butt of his rifle. However, not before 8 villagers were dead and a number of others wounded. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Right. Now I want to know why. Now take it easy, in your own time.
2 weeks. 2 bloody weeks we've been under fire. 2 hellish weeks without rest. I'd lost half my men. More than half. I don't know how many. 2 bloody many. They were all gone, all the best ones. We had no sleep.
Take it easy, Jack. Take it easy.
Yes, sir. Well, in the end, they relieved us. They let us come back and sleep a bit in the village. The men were sleeping out in the open, some of them, anywhere they could lie down. Then the sniping started. Men started dying. Sleeping men. We were all drugged with sleep, and we'd hear a shot and wake up, and one of us was dead. And the rest of us... Christ! We went back to sleep. Till the next shot. Oh, finally, I dragged myself awake. I woke the men. We rounded up the villagers. I questioned them. Nothing. They'd seen nothing. They'd heard nothing. What do they mean, heard nothing? There'd been rifle shots. Somebody was killing my men, and those bastards were protecting him. Every one of them was protecting him.
They may not have known who it was.
They knew. Every last one of them. I could see it in their faces. They knew. They were the enemy. Are you telling me I'm not supposed to kill the enemy? Well, tell me, am I or am I not?
Thank you, Rockingham. I understand.
You, sir?
Yes, I do. Could have happened to any one of us. Trouble is, it did happen to you. Guard!
Let's go! Stop! Quick, fast! Let's go! Halt! I only need rest, sir. I'll be fine.
Take him away.
I will, sir. I'll be fine. There's no need.
That will do, Rockingham.
Let's go! Stop! Prisoners are about to die! Quick, guard! Step! Step!
Well, Martin, what do you think?
It's a court-martial offence, sir.
Correct. But a court-martial is not possible.
Not possible?
No. 2 reasons. 1, morale. Don't set up a big, juicy trial in the middle of a battle. And 2, there's no time, Martin.
What do we do, sir? Keep him locked up?
I wish we could.
You mean forget the whole thing, sir? Well, I think that's wise. He's more than learned his lesson.
Martin, we're in the middle of a battle. We're dependent on the goodwill of the locals. This man has killed a number of villagers. If you were one of the villagers' relatives, what would you want? Death sentence, Martin. That man's guilty of murder.
We don't execute him. We're all guilty of murder in their eyes.
But if we can't have a court-martial...
I want you to go to his cell. Give him your revolver. Explain the situation. Tell him he's got 10 seconds.
No other way, sir?
Nope. Well?
I've told him, sir.
10 seconds?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's 15. Look, take my revolver. You'll have to do it. It's an order, Martin.
Yes, sir.
Suicide.
Yes, sir.
Wasn't that sort of murder?
Yes. I committed murder, and Martin's the one who's crying into his whiskey.
Well, don't you ever cry?
Haven't for a long time.
Oh, Grandad, it's all a big mistake. If you have to do this, do it, but I can't help.
You know, I love to look at this garden in moonlight. It's easy to forget things that have happened. Your father asked me why I was writing this book. I didn't tell him because he wouldn't understand.
I thought it was because of the missiles.
Not only that.
Would I understand?
I rather hope so. Because if you don't, then I'm a very lonely old man. I don't mind that. I've been lonely for a long time, but I have a feeling, well... Perhaps I'm going soft in my dotage. I need someone.
Am I really the only one?
Well, there was somebody else, but she's a long way away.
Try me.
There were four of us, commissioned at the same time. Ted, Jim, Alan, myself. They sent us out to France... to the Somme. We knew a lot of men had been killed there, but we were very young and we thought we were clever and we couldn't imagine dying. I was the least clever one. I was the one that made a mistake. The reason I made a mistake was because I was worrying about Jim, Ted, Alan. I stopped thinking straight. There were 6 holes in Ted's face. I wiped the blood off, and I counted them, and I decided that I would never let anyone matter to me again.
And no one ever has.
No.
Grandma? Mother?
Nope.
And the book?
It's a way of paying the debt I owe them, Ted, Jim, and Alan.
They'll try to stop you.
All right. It'll be my last battle. Perhaps I'll lose it. That's not the point. Listen. I'm a very old-fashioned gentleman. And I don't know what words you use nowadays. But what I'm talking about is saving my soul. I have no right... ask you to help, but...
No. No, you haven't. But it's something nobody's ever asked me to do before. You're a crafty old thing, Grandad. How can I refuse?
This is a little annoying, Rutledge.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry. I got nowhere with him.
And he's going ahead?
Yes, he seems quite determined. I really don't understand why.
A pity we couldn't handle matters within the department. Now we shall have to go higher. They won't love us for it.
Last night, I almost told my granddaughter Caroline about you. I told her there was someone I knew a long way away who might understand me, but I also said that no one had mattered to me since the First World War. And I wondered, as I said it, why I go on writing to you. Lois!
Father, I want to tell you something. If you go on writing that book, you can find someone else to run this house.
Look, people do not come into this room without knocking.
You may frighten Martin, but you don't frighten me. I've had enough and I want to get out. Don't you realize that... Don't you have any pity... Father, what's the point of it? You're not going to surprise anyone. We all know war's a filthy business. You're just going to destroy Martin and me, and I don't know yourself, perhaps, and goodness knows who else. Martin's weak, I know, and we don't get on very well, but he's not a murderer, and you're going to...
Lois, I had to make that decision. Things start which you cannot control.
And you call yourself a hero.
I don't, and when the book's out, nobody else will either.
Excuse me, Grandad. There's a gentleman here who wants to help with the book.
Wants to help? I know a good commander should anticipate everything, but I never expected an ally. Lois, would you excuse me?
Very well.
Ma'am? The name's, Burrisk, General. That is, I should say, Marshal Peter G. Burrisk. Good to meet you.
Well, I'm delighted to meet you, Mr.,
Burrisk.
Shall I leave you?
Certainly not. What kind of a secretary is it who deserts her boss at a moment like this? Take some notes or something. Please do sit down.
Thank you.
So, what can I do for you, Mr. Burrisk?
Now, that is exactly the point, Marshal. What I'm here to talk about is what I can do for you. Shoulder to shoulder, our nation stood in that last great war, and shoulder to shoulder, we should stand again.
Well, I can only agree with the sentiment, but how exactly...
Never mind the sermon, that's bullshit. What I want to offer you is the services of our little organization. And here you are. On my card, you'll see, known as the Four Eyes, International Investigation and Information Incorporated.
Well, that's very kind of you, Mr.
Burrisk.
I wasn't aware that I needed such assistance.
Oh, come on now, Marshal.
Field Marshal, to be accurate.
Oh, that's right, yeah, right. I'd like to get my facts right. Now, we want to back you up in your great task of setting the record right on Voya Lobetz. My organization is capable of clarifying and corroborating every available detail so that there can be no question
of
any...
That's very kind indeed, Mr. Burrisk. But this will be a sizable task, and I'm afraid I'm in no position to afford your fees.
Fees? What fees? This service is absolutely free, Marshal. Of course, if any information should come to light that would be of use and profitability to both parties, and no doubt any proceeds of that information could be split, say, 50-50.
What kind of information exactly did you have in mind?
Well, sir, you are no doubt aware that the collection of paintings that disappeared from Zvonos Castle at the time it was your headquarters in Yugoslavia has never yet reemerged into the light of day. Now, that collection of paintings is worth a great deal of money.
That's better. Now we understand each other. Free help makes me uneasy.
Well, sir, you're no sucker. Just tell us the story of those paintings, Marshal, the way you remember it, and let us take it from there.
Well, I know there was a thunderstorm going on at the time. Mm-hmm. As far as I was concerned, art was the last thing I wanted to think about. You got a map, Martin?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, where's the forward party?
They're about here, sir. A bit more than halfway up the valley. But the bulk of 15 battalion is stuck here.
See. Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, sir.
Yes, what is it?
Message from General Bartlett, sir. He wants us to ship the paintings.
Painting?
On the castle wall, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, a fine time to worry about paintings. He says he's sending a truck. Is it here?
Yes, sir. And Miss Grimioni's outside. Wants a word.
Ah. Ask her to come in.
Sir. In you come, miss.
John, you know I'm responsible for the property of the Count. There are three men in the hall trying to take the paintings down. I've just stopped them. They must have my approval if they want to take them away.
John, are you there? John, listen.
Yes, John.
If those pictures are going, I'm going with them. You can't hand those things over to a lot of clowns in khaki.
Do you think they should go, John?
Look, if Bartlett wants them, he's welcome. I don't want the responsibility.
Will they be safe?
They're certainly not safe here.
Well, Bartlett knows their value. He'll look after them.
I'll go with them. If you do, you'll miss the next offensive.
Christ.
Right, I'll say.
Yeah. I wish you were a fighting man, Charles. You're twice as bloodthirsty as any of my soldiers.
I love life, and that's where life matters, John, out where the fighting is.
All right with you, Stephanie, if the paintings go. Charles is right. This is no place for him.
I suppose, if you say so.
All right, Sergeant, tell him to get on with it.
But please, please be careful.
And that was the last time anybody saw those paintings?
Correct.
General Bartlett?
Yes. He was in command of the Fifth Army.
You don't still have that note, do you, sir? The one from Henry Bartlett, authorizing the removal of the paintings?
Of course. Everything's filed. Excuse me. Hello? Talk of the devil, Henry. Oh. We got something to talk about? Urgent. Oh, you make me feel very important, Henry. Yeah, of course I shall be there. How can I refuse a cabinet minister? 4 o'clock, then. Goodbye, Henry. Well, I invited tea at the Army and Navy Club to meet Sir Henry.
Oui.
Well, strictly speaking, I'd like you to come with me, please. And let's invite ourselves to dinner with Charles Gibson afterwards. Why not? Hello, Henry.
John. Oh, and Miss Rutledge. An unexpected pleasure.
Yeah, she's helping me with the book. You don't mind if she stays?
No, of course not. Waiter. Pot of tea for three, tea cakes, and so forth. Does that suit everyone?
Thank you.
No, I'm fine.
Sort of on.
Well, now.
Well?
John. We've been friends and allies for nearly 50 years. And
look, we've known each other for nearly 50 years. That's all. Now you're here to tell me that the government doesn't want me to write this book. Why not just say it, and then I can say what I came here to say.
But, John, the tea cakes haven't arrived yet. Now, listen, John. I don't want you to wake up one morning and realize what your book's done and be able to say, why didn't somebody tell me?
Now, go on, then.
Every nation is, among other things, a trading organization. Any mistakes we make in world trade will affect the pockets of every man, woman, and child in this country. Now, you're a rich man, John. Hmm. These things don't affect you much. But it's not you the government worries about.
Naturally. I've only got one vote.
At the present moment, we have negotiations going on in the United States to buy uranium. We have a powerful voice in the Senate on our side, Senator Matt Jordan. Matt Jordan was involved in the Peshkabo business. If the truth about that comes out, he'll be discredited, and along with him, all the policies he stands for. That's one consideration. Then there are the Yugoslav leaders.
The ones you're selling arms to.
We're trying to woo them away from Russian influence. Those men were more closely involved with the Peshkabo business than anyone else.
Yes, of course.
Years of hard work in Yugoslavia will be ruined if you tell that story.
I'm a living lie, Henry. That's got to be put straight.
We can't afford to let you do it, John. We shall stop you.
Do you know that in the whole history of England, no field marshal has ever resigned his commission?
You'd never do that.
And tell the world why?
Does Britain mean nothing to you?
When Britain's government is corrupt, then I represent Britain, not the government. I shall do what I believe in.
I think you're bluffing, John. I hope so. Because if you're not, we shall have to take action.
Well, Henry, I never knew I was such a dangerous fellow. At my age, it's quite flattering. Come on, Caroline. I'm afraid you'll have to excuse us, Henry. Here's the tea. I hope you're hungry.
She's
still talking about the painting.
Oh, listen, it's important. It was his department. Put them away.
Hang on. The pancakes are almost ready. Let me top up your wine, Caroline.
Thanks.
As a matter of fact, he did come into a lot of money just after the war.
Bartlett did.
That's how he got into politics. Now, when we have pancakes, guests have the option of tossing their own. What about you, Caroline? Shall I toss yours?
I'm extremely skillful. Or do you want to risk your own disasters?
You can do mine.
I shall certainly take responsibility for my own pancake.
Fine. Who goes first?
Well, you lead off. I want to study the competition.
Here goes.
Whee! Brilliant!
Rubbish. A single flip. Elementary. I intend to attempt the double flip.
Not only difficult, but pointless. Leaves you back where you started.
Very well. I shall attempt the almost impossible. The treble flip. Are you ready? Up she goes!
And down she comes.
Oh, sorry about the floor.
There's still some in the pan.
Well, I shall eat it.
So, no one knows where his money came from?
No. But how could he have sold all those paintings?
Oh, well, that can be arranged. Mm. Millionaires buy these things, see them up in a couple of air-conditioned rooms and gloat over them.
Yeah, but haven't some of them reappeared?
A few, yes. That's the funny thing. Mm. Every few years, the odd picture comes onto the market, and no one can trace the seller. Very discreet, very mysterious. Mm.
Mm. Doesn't sound like a millionaire. Sounds like someone who needs a spot of ready cash now and then.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that grand? Mm. Good God. What's going on?
Whose car is that?
I don't know. Looks official.
And lights on all over the house.
Lois? What's happening?
I thought you were in trouble, young lady. I wondered why you weren't going back to college.
What are you talking about?
Well, come on, let's go and see.
Excuse me, sir. You Sir John Durham?
I am. Would you mind explaining your presence here?
Special branch, sir. Very sorry to trouble you, but we're acting on information received, and we have a search warrant.
Mm, what for?
We believe that Miss Caroline Rutledge has stolen arms and ammunition in her possession.
What the hell she has?
What are
Caroline?
Talking about?
They've ransacked the house from top to bottom.
Arms and ammunition?
We've removed certain papers for further investigation.
Papers?
Papers from your study, sir.
From my study? Martin? What's happening? What do you know about this?
They say Caroline has been associating with extremists.
Caroline, she's an excuse. They're after me now, let's see. Now that's it. My manuscript.
They've taken that?
Henry warned me.
Oh, he moves fast.
What's going on in this house?
And all my files. All right. You've got what you came for. Now clear out.
Very sorry to have troubled you, sir. We're only obeying orders.
Precisely.
Good night, sir. Come on, Charlie.
Roger. Good night.
Good night.
So, now you can't write the book.
So now it'll be more difficult and more necessary. Now, what's in the post today?
Just a fan letter. Dear Sir John, I'm delighted to read that you're going to tell the truth about Voya Lovats. The man who won that battle deserves full credit.
Yeah, who's that from?
Oh, someone called Madeline Ross.
Hmm? Where'd she write from?
Oh, no address. That's funny.
Can I see?
Who is she?
Wife, widow of one of my staff officers. I'll keep this.
What's the matter?
It doesn't mean quite what it seems to.
There's something missing.
I can't think why. They ripped the place apart.
I hope you don't disapprove.
Was it really necessary?
Absolutely. And despite their thoroughness, they missed something of vital importance. I hope you're listening to me, Rutledge.
Yes, sir.
There was a meeting between your father-in-law, General Bartlett, as Sir Henry was then, and Matthew Jordan, now Senator Jordan. Everybody concerned was told that this was a confidential meeting and that no records were being taken. In fact, however, your father-in-law took a secret wire recording. Her Majesty's government has the transcript. Now we want the actual recording.
How am I supposed to find it, sir?
It'll be hidden somewhere in your house.
Spying on my father-in-law is not something I care to do, sir.
The recording was unauthorized, Rutledge. It's a serious security risk.
I understand that, sir.
Very well, then. Presumably, you know your duty.
I think someone else should be given the job, sir.
You are in a unique position to do the job, Rutledge, and you will do it.
I'm afraid I can't, sir.
In that case, you're suspended from your duties as from this moment, without further pay.
I hope you're not serious, sir.
Rutledge, don't make such heavy weather of it. You and I are government servants, and we obey orders. I hope
Don't let me keep you from obeying your orders, sir. My resignation will take effect from today.
Well done, Martin.
I'm not sure it was well done.
Well, it'll be a change from sitting on your bum in that cell in Whitehall. There's work to do here. You with us?
It seems I'm not against you.
Good. And have a look at this letter. No address.
Madeline Ross? She's not?
Find her.
This whole thing seems to be getting rather out of hand, Terrell.
I have to admit, I miscalculated, Rutledge. It annoys me when people behave better than I want them to.
Yes, very aggravating. It means I'll have to talk to someone whose dishonesty I can absolutely rely on.
Who's that?
I think I'd better not even tell you.
Ah, hello. You're my mother? If she's Mrs. Madeline Ross, yes, I do. Come in. Mother, for you.
Thank you, Paul. I won't be a moment.
I'll wait.
This, Rockingham, will be a conversation which, as far as I'm concerned, never took place.
Right.
There are a limited number of people who know what actually happened to your brother Arthur. When the book comes out, everybody will know.
Do you mean the book's going to come out?
I haven't been able to stop it by any means within my power. But you have another brother, haven't you?
George, yes.
Runs a successful gambling club, I understand. And I'm sure neither you nor he want to see the name of Rockingham dragged in the mud.
No, indeed.
In his walk of life, I would imagine that George has access to methods which are outside the scope of members of Parliament or mere ministers of the Crown.
Could be.
Preventing publication of the book is the primary objective. But in addition, Her Majesty's government very badly wants a wire recording which was made just before the assault on Peshkabo.
Durham has it.
He must have.
I'll have a word with George.
I'm ready now. Won't you come in?
You are Mrs. Madeline Ross.
Yes, of course.
I'm afraid there's been some mistake.
Oh, what's the matter? Oh, perhaps I've jumped to conclusions. I assumed that you were here for...
No. My name's Martin Rutledge. I'm here on behalf of Sir John Durham.
Oh, my God. Oh, how embarrassing. I'm so sorry. Paul should have asked who you were. Oh, dear. I'd really rather you hadn't learnt how I earn my living.
It really doesn't matter.
I never thought you'd come looking for me.
Now I'm here. May I ask you some questions?
Mr. Burisk, you're inventing things.
Honest, Marshal, I'm not.
Count Fornos?
The man himself. He was in New York trying to sell his old pictures. He said he had them stashed away somewhere and he wanted help getting them across the Atlantic.
Well, who told you this?
100% confidential, sorry.
All right, Mr. Burris. Thanks for the information and keep at it.
Oh, don't worry, sir. Once I'm on the trail, I don't let go. Book coming well?
It's progressing, but I'm not enjoying it. I'm in the middle of writing about the time we had to shell our own allies, American troops. It's hard writing that.
Must be, Marshal. Must be.
I only know what my husband told me. And that was only when he was drunk. Mind you, in those last days, he was drunk all too often.
What did he say?
He used to say that Durham was very overrated as a soldier. Competent, unimaginative, never brilliant. He said he got where he was by stealing other people's ideas and then trampling on the people he'd stolen from.
Meaning your husband?
Yes, of course. Him especially. Well, he never used to drink before that time, never. His career was everything to him. He despised drink. After Bojo Lovax, he never stopped.
I think my father-in-law would like to help.
If your father-in-law really wants to know. What Stephen said was that he should have been the field marshal, not Durham. He won that battle. And all he got out of it was disgrace. I mean, to be relieved of your command just before a battle. It killed him.
That's why Sir John would like to help you now.
Actually, I don't need help.
He'll want to know how you've managed all these years.
Oh, I managed. Not a bad figure, is it? Not what it once was, but still usable. I'm a professional mistress, though I quite like the word courtesan. I give men what apparently wives don't.
You're very beautiful.
Oh, dear. Not another one. Anyway, you see, I'm quite reconciled and reasonably well off. So tell Sir John the only help I need from him is the truth about Stephen. Do you think you can get that for me?
I'll try.
That would be very kind.
I'll go.
If you don't mind. Can you see yourself out? I'm afraid that the gentleman on the doorstep will assume that...
No, that's all right. That's all right. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Paul?
Yeah?
We made a mistake.
Oh, no. I realised afterwards where I'd seen him.
Where?
Well, you know that reunion? Where everyone was crawling to Durham and I got thrown out for causing a disturbance. He was there.
Of course he would be.
Bastard. Smashed my camera too.
He said Durham wanted to know if we needed any help. I said no.
Mother, you are mad.
I have my pride and we're comfortable enough. And I've got enough put away for you. But I would like to have your father's name cleared.
I just think you're mad. Durham's stinking rich and you've got him over a barrel.
Just let Mr. Curtis in, will you?
49, 82, Robert! Come on in. Great to see you, old lad.
Our business?
Never better. The punters come, lose their socks and still keep coming. Absolutely, but don't knock it.
Listen, George, about this fellow Durham.
Ah, the book.
Yeah.
Don't say he's going ahead.
So it seems. Unless we can do something to stop him.
We? You mean me?
Actually, I do mean you. We owe it to Arthur, George.
Is this your idea?
Comes from pretty high up, actually.
So the government's worried, and they want a hitman. That should be worth a bob or two.
George, you know the government. I did suggest it, but...
Well, you know something. I never did like Durham. It'll be a pleasure to put the boot into that self-righteous sod. What did you have in mind? Grievous bodily harm?
Something along those lines.
Kidnap him, perhaps. That's fashionable.
Not the old man.
Why not?
He'd enjoy it. But he's got a granddaughter.
Yeah?
The apple of his eye.
Tony?
Yeah?
Come and meet my brother, Robert. He's an MP.
What am I supposed to do? Have a look at that.
Tony's allowed to be disrespectful. Oh. He's our chief bouncer. Anyway, Tony, it looks as though we may have a job right up your street.
Oh. Did your mother ask you to come?
No, she didn't. She doesn't know I'm here. She'll be angry when she finds out. She thinks we're all right. Well, maybe we are all right in a way. We've got enough money and she's got... Well, I mean, she's got men. Maybe that's all a woman needs. But me, what kind of life do you think it is for me? I mean, you sit here with your bloody afternoon tea service and your bloody rose garden and everyone says, what a fine man. What a great man. Saved his country. I mean, despite everything, people respect you. Despite what you did to my father, and my mother, and me. I don't suppose they're the only ones. But all the same, people respect you. What do they think about me? Son of a whore, that's me. A whore for a mother and a failure for a father. And you may say these are liberated days and nobody cares who you are or who your parents were, but that's not true. And I just wanted you to know what it was you did.
Yeah? What's your job for?
Eh? I'm a photographer, freelance.
Doing well?
Not so well these days. There's not the money about.
You want a job with me?
Well, I've touched your conscience, have I?
Yes, you have a little, but that's not why.
We're on the same side, Paul.
What do you mean?
Against authority without conscience.
And you put it so well.
You're having me on.
You could photograph documents, couldn't you? And I've been wondering about illustrations. Could you look after that?
I don't want to help with a book that knocks my old man.
It won't. Your old man was a fine soldier. Whatever reparation I can make, I will.
Well, then,
that knocks you.
Well, let's just get the record straight, shall we?
Is this charity?
Paul, all a commander can do is command. If there's no one to carry out his instructions, he's finished. Will you help me?
I'll have to think about it.
Fine. Have a piece of chocolate cake and let me know tomorrow.
No, I've had enough, thanks. I better get back.
You sure?
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Mm. And thanks very much.
Yeah. Well, I hope we'll meet again.
Maybe.
Hmm. I haven't had time to sit and write to you for a while. I've written quite a lot of the story, and meanwhile things keep happening. You prepare for battle. You think you're ready for anything, but you never are. And now, it's happening again.
What the hell's going on up there?
Can't make it out, sir. The Yanks certainly seem to be having a bad time.
Yeah, the enemy were ready for them, damn it. Have we got radio contact back yet?
I'm coming through now, sir.
It looks from here as if they're retreating. If they break, the whole line goes.
What's this, all right? Message, sir. The Yanks have lost a lot of men, including the CO.
Are they holding?
I know, sir. I don't think so. It sounds as if some of them are beginning to run.
Right. Lay down a barrage, every gun you can find, 200 yards behind the Americans. Hold them in their positions. Barrage to last 1 hour.
Yes, sir.
During that time, the 29th Indian Division will prepare to attack. The attack will take place the moment the barrage lifts, 1 hour from now.
The old boy works late, doesn't he?
Mm. What's the time?
Midnight. Oh, I'm bloody freezing.
The action was successful. The Americans held their position, and reinforced by the 29th Indian Division, succeeded in clearing the ridge of German troops. Unfortunately, 6 American soldiers were killed by British artillery fire. I made it my business later to discover the names of these soldiers and wrote privately to their families, expressing my regret. And now, as a small act of reparation, I give their names. Private John B. Austin, Private John G. Belpato, Lieutenant Robert Hermanson.
There's a girl at the window, look. Doesn't look like no problem.
What a pleasure.
Yeah, it's a dormitory. Well, let's look for a way in. I've got to give him half an hour to get to sleep.
Good night, Caroline.
Hey, what? It's door open here.
Bloody hell.
Come on. You tell me now. Who is it?
Get him!
Let's
go!
Let's go! I got one of them! I got it!
Where's the damn light? Got your hand coming?
My God! Burris! Damn right it is!
Can you pick up his gun, sir? It slid over there.
Yeah, so it did, yes, sir. Some ally, Mr. Burris.
Okay, okay.
Well, you covered him, sir. The others got away.
What others? Well, it doesn't matter. Mr. Burris can lead us to them.
Wrong.
You will, Burris.
It's no use pointing that thing at me, Marshal. I'd help you if I knew who the hell they were.
What?
I never saw those guys before.
Then what in God's name are you doing here?
Just passing.
Well, search him.
What's this?
Pages from the manuscript, Grandad.
Well, I just wrote that this evening. Is this all? Well,
no more pages. I'll just check his wallet.
What do you want this for?
My business, Marshal.
I thought your name was Burris.
Yes, what did it wire?
What here in the name of Belprato.
Belprato?
Have a look.
Ah. John G. Belprato, one of the American soldiers killed in the barrage. Brother, I suppose.
Go right on supposing.
Sicilian name, isn't it? Huh. Family affair. I suppose you came to kill me. But first you needed proof that I was responsible. Very scrupulous of you. And who are these other people?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I can guess. Well, Mr. Belprato.
Let's keep it, Burris. I got used to that name.
Well, as you wish. I'm rather sorry about this, to tell you the truth. I quite liked you.
I'm sorry about it, too. I didn't want to do it.
You were under orders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I ought to hand you over to the police. I'd much rather open a bottle of scotch. What are you saying?
The ball's in your court.
Now, sit down.
Hmm.
What will your gang do to you for not killing me?
Nothing. I did my best.
You're quite a big wheel in this gang, I imagine. They can't afford to lose you, huh?
Yeah, maybe.
Take it neat?
Sure.
I want you to understand something. When our shells killed your brother, accidentally, I was under orders too. My gang consisted of thousands of men, and my orders were to bring them to victory.
Sure.
Would your gang understand that?
I guess so.
Tell them, if there was anything I could do to bring your brother back, I'd do it. Failing that, the book's the best I can do. So let's attend to things that matter now. The book and the paintings. We're coming to the crunch, Barsica. When the enemy shows his hand like this, you've got him. So I need your help more than ever. Let's get some justice done. Find those paintings, and you and your gang can have the lot.
How disappointing, Rockingham. One's always been told that private enterprise, as represented by your brother, is capable of anything. It depends, I suppose, on not being faced by someone more enterprising. Well, it leaves only one course open to us.
What are you doing?
What does it look like? I'm packing. I'm leaving.
What, this evening?
I'm not spending another night in this house. It's not safe. I won't stand for it.
Poor mother. She can't cope with a thing like this. I'm not sure what she can cope with.
Parents, what have we done to deserve them?
What did they do to deserve theirs?
One thing I'll make sure of. No child's ever going to have to call me Daddy.
Seems a pity. You'd make a nice father. You'd know what to avoid.
Could you two please come along? I'd like a word with everyone.
All right.
The only ones who don't know each other are you two, Barisk and Paul Ross.
Hi. Hello.
Right. Now, listen. They're not going to waste time now. And since I've got it all in my head, they'll probably go for me. So, I've made certain preparations. The bit of the story that really worries them is not yet on paper. But I've just now dictated it onto this evil little machine. And if anything should happen to me, that cassette's got to be carefully preserved and transcribed as soon as possible.
Yes, sir.
I don't intend to tell any of you what my plan is.
What?
But in that way, if anything goes wrong, you're not responsible. Oh. And now, I'm tired. Caroline, would you bring me a bite of supper in bed?
All right. Who's there?
General Davenport, Brigadier Arkwright, Major Simpkins.
Well, what do you want?
This is an official visit on the nation's business.
At this time of night?
Please admit us.
Brigadier Rutledge.
Yes, sir?
I'm sorry to have to inform you that we're here to arrest Sir John Durham on a charge of high treason.
Treason?
May we come in?
Yes, of course. If you wait here a moment, I'll go and fetch Sir John.
If you'll excuse me, sir, I think I'll come with you.
I'm sure that won't be necessary.
I think it would be advisable.
Sir John?
Will you open it, please, sir?
He's probably asleep.
If you won't, sir, then I shall have to.
Very well.
He's gone.
What? I don't understand it.
Blast! He's gone, sir! That must be him!
You stay here, Simpkins. Make sure nobody leaves. Trevor, you come with me.
After him, driver.
Don't lose him.
Right, you are, sir.
Is this the whole manuscript?
As far as I know.
You would know?
Not necessarily.
Have you a key to this drawer?
The field marshal always kept that himself.
Are you quite sure, sir?
Positive. He never allowed anything.
And you don't know what's in here?
I've no idea.
I'm sorry, sir. I'll have to force it open.
The road opens out ahead. We can pass him and block the road.
Yes, you're right, Trevor.
Envelopes, bills,
That's more like it. A cassette.
Pull over, driver. Pull over. Force him off the road.
Right, sir.
Don't let him get away.
It's no good, Sir John. Come on.
Soldiers, thank God. I'm sorry I made you drive so dangerously. I thought you were crooks.
Passport, please, signor. Grazie, Sir John.
What's the matter with this thing?
I think you may have the cassette upside down, sir.
Oh, Christ. Now then.
Dear Bartlett, I have a special message for you and your colleagues. Please take careful note of this. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and on that farm he had a pig, E-I-E-I-O.
Bloody hell.
Ready, Father?
Yes.
All right, Paul, press the button.
All right.
It's now time to reveal the truth about the bombing of the village of Peshkovo. The wire recording, which confirms this, is in the possession of one of the few people I trust, Wilfred Eden. He was then my ADC. He is now a solicitor in London.
It occurs to me, sir.
Yeah, come in. Oh, yes, Martin.
They've picked up Sophie, sir, and the plane's on its way.
Oh, good. You were saying, Eden?
Yes. I was wondering, sir, since Sophie refuses to have any witnesses to this meeting, would you like a recording of it?
I don't want him to know that it's being recorded.
I can arrange that, sir.
You and your partisans are going to be essential to the operation, Mr. Sophie.
When you think you want us?
We should break out into the plane in about 4 weeks' time. That's when we're going to need you. Everything your partisans can do to sabotage the German rear. Railways, roads, barracks, everything. And in the meantime, we want the most accurate information you can get us.
That is okay. Good. Conditions?
Yes.
Much explosive. Anti-tank. Rocket. Fuses. Very many.
How many?
All right.
Well, I can't spare that many.
General, the Committee of Three has many, many men, women, children. All will fight. All need weapons.
Well, I'll need General Bartlett's authorization. I'll do what I can.
Tell him, without these things, we all will be killed.
Is that all?
Not all.
What else?
One other thing. You must destroy the National Freedom Movement.
I don't understand.
You understand.
They are also partisans. They're your countrymen. They are also fighting the Germans.
They are fascist. We are communist. After the war, we must fight them. If we use all the weapons fighting now, they will defeat us after. So, if you want us to fight now, destroy them first.
It can't be done.
He won't do it on any other terms. I pressed him hard.
What a goddamn situation.
How badly do we need him?
Well, he can save us a huge number of casualties. Thousands. And a lot of time.
What do you think, Jordan? Can't we persuade them to sink their differences?
I doubt it, sir. The right-wing freedom movement are terrified of the communists. They're only waiting for a war to be over to be rid of them. Sovik's quite right.
Why don't we wipe out Sovik and support the NFN?
We haven't a chance. Sovik's troops are scattered all over the place.
And the NFN?
They're congregating at the moment in a small town in the mountains. Most of the leaders are there. They captured it from the Germans a few weeks ago.
So we could wipe out the whole lot in one bombing raid?
Effectively... Yes.
Durham, I'm asking you again. You need Sovik this much?
I really need him, sir.
We'll say we have an intelligence report that the Germans have taken over this town. What did you say its name was?
Peshkovo.
Nearly 2,000 people died in Peshkovo that night. Many of them civilians, women, and children. Against that, Sovik's partisans probably saved the Allies about 4,000 to 5,000 casualties. The reader must decide for himself what he thinks of this arrangement.
Villa Gremiani, signore.
Ah. Grazie.
Oh, prego.
Yeah, buongiorno.
Giovanni!
Stefani! Stefani. After 30 years.
I had to polish all the silver. And dust the nice glasses. By myself, I don't need them.
Mm. Did you think I'd ever come back?
I thought you might come back after the war. But since you didn't come then, I was quite sure you never would. I even began to wonder if I'd dreamt the whole thing. Mm,
so did I.
But this dream kept writing letters.
Letters can be a sort of dream.
I wondered if perhaps it meant you had loved me. But you once told me you never loved any woman.
I never had time, Stephanie. I was too busy planning to kill men.
Even in my arms?
Even in your arms.
Ah.
But that was the nearest to peace I ever knew.
One thing I know. You didn't come back after all these years just to find out if you loved me.
No.
It was because of the book.
Oh, it seems less important now.
Tell me. All the same.
Do you remember the paintings at the castle?
They took them away.
With my agreement. But you were the housekeeper. You were responsible to Count Svornoth. And nobody ever saw those paintings again. Did nobody ever ask
you? Nobody.
Stephanie, do you know what happened to them? And I heard that Count Svornoth told people in New York that he had them himself.
He said that, yes.
And then he died. Bumped off.
Yes.
Stephanie?
Yes?
What were you to him? I mean, a housekeeper, I know. What else?
You never asked me then. Does it matter now?
Yes.
After you, Giovanni. After I knew you. Nothing. Never again. Anybody. After you.
Is that true?
Yes. Before that, I was his mistress, of course.
Hmm. Yes, of course.
We were talking about the paintings. Take a look at my paintings. Not very good, are they?
No.
And so many. Can you use a screwdriver?
No, I think so.
I keep this one here, in case I should need it in a hurry. You see that all the paintings are screwed to the wall?
Mm-hmm.
Could you unscrew this one?
Yeah.
I hold it steady.
Mm-hmm.
After you advanced and the castle was empty, I had a message from Alexei, Count Zvornos. Come to one corner to such and such a villa, I came.
Yeah, that's one screwed.
He said he was going to America. He asked me to look after this house until he came back.
And he never came?
No. Help me lift it down.
Right.
Carefully. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Turn it over.
Okay.
Coro.
My God.
And that's a Vermeer? That big one, that's the only El Greco. Turner.
So we were all wrong about Bartlett. He didn't want them for himself. He sent for them to get them back to Svornos.
Who was by now ruined.
The rightful owner.
I think that silly little snow scenes are Renoir. But it's a long time. Giovanni.
Yes.
You can't sleep.
No.
Oh, even passion never used to keep you awake. And it isn't passion now, not at our time of life.
No.
In the worst days of battle, you still used to sleep.
No, I had nothing to lose.
Giovanni, you had so much to lose. The battle, even the war. And all the time the lives of many men, your life too.
But none of it mattered.
And now? Something matters?
Yes. you.
So, we love each other.
Yes.
There is only one thing to be afraid of in love, and that is losing your lover. So why are you afraid? For 30 years I have been yours. And now we are together.
But those paintings are worth a great deal of money.
I know.
Zvornos was killed for them.
That was a long time ago. Now everybody has forgotten about them.
Oh, God. I wish they had.
Giovanni. What are you doing?
I'm going, Stephanie.
You leave my bed. You don't even wake me. You don't even say goodbye.
I'm sorry.
If you go now, then never again write to me. Never again see me. Never again pretend I meant anything.
All right.
Is that what you want?
Yes.
It's not what you want. It is not. Why can't you stay with me? What are you afraid of? Is it me?
Never of you.
What then?
I'm afraid of things I've started and I can't stop. I'm afraid of myself and the ghosts I bring to you.
I can help you.
Stephanie, please, stop trying.
I could never change you. That's why I loved you. Well, I pretend you never came. Oh, Giovanni, why did you? Giovanni! If you want to come again...
Attention, please. For all passengers, please remain seated. All passengers, please remain seated, even when the aircraft comes to a halt. All passengers to remain seated until further notice. And will Sir John Durham please make himself known to a member of the cabin crew? Sir John Durham, please make himself known.
Young lady... Young lady.
Yes, sir.
I'm Durham. Tell the captain not to worry. I'll go quietly.
We're here to see Sir John Durham. We have a pass.
This way, sir. Thanks. This is the most goddamn medieval thing I've ever come across.
Barbaric.
Hey. What's that? The gentleman and his friend seem very cheerful in their medieval quarters.
Terrific.
E-I-E-I-O. Now on that farm.
Caroline, my dear. Martin. Barisk. How good of you.
That. So this is what it's like to be imprisoned in the Tower of London.
Yeah, not bad, is it?
Well, say, a carpet, an easy chair.
Yeah, so they offer me a television, but I don't watch the thing. I don't think they really know what to do with me. There's no one else with you?
No.
We were expecting someone else. You know Charles Gibson, I think, and this is another old friend, Wilfred Eden. He was the tenor.
Wilfred?
How are you, Martin?
Good Lord, I didn't recognize you. I never expected to see you here.
He's a lawyer these days. Very smart chap. He's representing me. And more to the point, he's been looking after the wire recording they've all been looking for. You remember... He was the one who made it in the first place.
Of course.
Now, we haven't much time, because I'm expecting Bartlett at any moment. But, Barisk, I'd better tell you the bad news.
Bad news?
You can forget those paintings. They're at the bottom of the Adriatic.
What? Well, that surely is terrible news. All those wonderful works of art, what a loss to the world.
And to you. I'm sorry.
Are you on the level?
I am not a liar, sir.
Okay, boss. I'm sorry I doubted you. I guess it's just one of those things. I'll call off the hunt.
Ah! Here's Henry.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Henry.
Well, you seem to have made yourself pretty comfortable and not lacking in company.
I will go. No, don't.
Now, this time I think we must speak alone, John.
I want everyone here to listen to what I have to say to you, Henry. I won't take long.
Durham, I'm here at your request. I don't intend...
Look, just read this.
What is it?
It's my surrender.
I hereby undertake never to publish any information or opinion about the Battle of Wojolowicz without the express approval of the British government of the day.
And here, incidentally, is the wire recording you wanted. It's no use to me now.
Grandad, why?
I thought there was nothing I valued more than the truth. But there is. So I'm as bad as you. That's all.
This is the last thing I shall dictate on this nasty little machine. Not for publication. It's just for the family. To clear something that I need to be purged of. I had hoped to say it in my book and die in peace. For that, I was prepared to sacrifice you, Martin, you, Lois, and I suppose the honor of my country, if there is such a thing. Now that I find I can't do it, I don't want to live any longer. But a wrong has been done and has to be put right. You remember that winter, Martin? I got pneumonia. They flew me home to get over it. I found my wife half crazy, my daughter neglected and bitter, and I blamed myself. I was a hollow man, but I could still destroy other people. There was no hope for Margaret or for me, so I took her out in the Bentley and drove to Church Hill above the graveyard. It was no accident. She died. It seems I couldn't. I had only cuts and bruises. A miracle, they said. I had to go on living. I'd survived the deaths of my friends, Ted, Jim, Alan, now Margaret. I knew I'd survive Wojolowicz. Thousands more deaths. What was I here for but to destroy? The doctors pronounced me fit, and I went back.
Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Martin. Everything under control?
Yes, sir, but I'm glad you're back. It's urgent to plan the spring offensive before the enemy wakes up.
My head was a blank. All I could think of was, do it by the book. But one man kept talking.
Chance, sir. Taken by surprise on the right flank. That's what he won't be expecting. It's what Alexander would have done. It's what Hannibal would have done. It won't be easy, but I've talked to the peasants and they know the secret paths. Now's the moment. Now is the moment. Don't leave it any longer.
I couldn't think. I couldn't stand it.
Get out! Get out! I will not have you questioning your commanding officer. You are relieved of your command.
And he went. Ross. Paul's father, who drank himself to death. He just went. That's army discipline. An hour or two later, they came to me and asked for orders for the offensive. I looked at them and I thought, what do they want? What am I supposed to say? There were some words ringing in my head, and I said something. 5 seconds later, I didn't know what it was. Everybody went out very excited. It seems that what I'd said was, surprise attack through the mountains on the right flank. Ross's scheme. Then the doctor came in and found me staring. He guessed, but he didn't say anything. He just put me to bed, and I slept. That's how Ross won the Battle of Wojolowicz. Will someone please tell Paul and Madeleine? Now then, my old friend. We didn't manage it last time. Let's do it properly now. This'll be the last time I'll swing the old handle. Let's do it really well. Start first time. Here goes, my beauty. Lovely day. The old church, the graveyard, not at all a bad spot to finish up. All right, Margaret, you can stop screaming. Here we go. Now! What the hell did you do that for? I swear I didn't turn the wheel. What are we doing here? The ghosts are gone. The ghosts are gone. You know what that signpost says? Dover. You've never been to Dover. Beyond Dover. Gracious me. Good French roads. You'd like them. And the Alps. And over the Alps. Italy. Stephanie. Just a minute. Passport? Who put that in my pocket? Did I? Money? Didn't I want to die? Surely I did. Another failure? Or is it? Who cares? Let's go!
The part of Field Marshal Sir John Durham was played by Jeremy Camp. Martin, Geoffrey Whitehead. Caroline, Jane Slavin. Lois, Anna Cropper. Stephanie, Valerie Sarouf. Charles Gibson, Dennis Hawthorne. Barisk, Nigel Anthony. Bartlett, John Moffat. Terrell, Christopher Good. Jordan, Danny Schiller. Paul, Charles Simpson. Madeline, Judy Parkin. Arthur Rockingham, Ian Target. Robert Rockingham, Michael Kilgariff. George, Michael Graham Cox. With John Bull, Ken Cumberledge, Paul Downing, David Googe, Brian Miller, and Alice Arnold. The Field Marshal's Memoirs was dramatized by James Brabazon from the novel by John Masters and directed by Jane Morgan.